Praise the Lord. It is good to be here, and oh my, so thankful that the Lord is here. He surely does know our needs. He surely does answer prayer, and you know, it's just beautiful to have this opportunity. I know we're just really thankful Bill and Sue are here. They're almost always, I don't think they hardly ever miss online. But here they are in person. Praise the Lord. And our new friend Harris is here tonight too. And that's beautiful too. And most of all, of course, got some of my children here. Thank the Lord. And otherwise, thank God he's here. Amen. And that's what really matters the most. Amen. We do know that he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there he would be in our midst. Amen. And that is so beautiful to know that our God is always with us. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's begin with prayer here tonight and ask God to have his way to show us what we need to see here. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful moment. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of opening up your word. Oh, God, we just thank you for the treasures that you've given us, the hope that is in our hearts. Oh, Lord, oh, God, the fact that, oh, Lord, we have found thee, Lord. Oh, God, that you found us, oh, Lord, that you called us, that you made a way for us, Lord. Oh, God, and we can come together, Lord. We can sit in heavenly places with you, Lord. We can open up your word. Oh, Lord, we can come and dine, Lord. We can feast on the good things that you show us in your word, Lord. And I just pray that you'd have your way here tonight. I pray that you talk to you to every heart, Lord God. You know our needs afar off, God. Oh, Lord, you know our burdens, God. You are a God that heareth. You are a God that answereth, Lord. And, oh, God, there is none to compare unto thee, Lord. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you stir our hearts, that you get us ready, Lord, to meet thee, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that your word would have free course. And that you'd use it, Lord. Oh, God, I give this service to you, Lord. I ask that you'd use me, God, that you'd give me the words, the ability, the anointing, God. For I know that I could do nothing without you, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you would be here, Lord. Oh, God, that you would minister to us. Oh, God, that you'd set us free, Lord, that you give us, oh, Lord, what we have need of from thee, exactly and precisely, I pray, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it is a privilege, and oh, man, I have to get used to these glasses, too. God is good, though, and I'm so glad that we could come and dine. That's his word and how it fills that void in our heart. It's a wonderful thing. I know as we were singing, I just remembered an occasion I had. Oh, I guess it would be a few years ago. And a young man, he was a salesman, was sitting at my table with me. And, you know, he had sold me, I believe in that case, maybe, I don't know if that was where the windows, perhaps, that I needed for my home. And anyway, I just got the feeling we talked about things in common. He had lived in Madison. I had lived in Madison once upon a time. And, you know, we could, you know, talk about that. But, wow, I just sensed that he didn't know the Lord, you know, that he was, you know, far off from him. And anyway, I just had the most wonderful privilege of presenting the Word of God. And you know, it's so something, because here we live in America, and, you know, sometimes we assume that everybody just knows, you know, portions of the scripture or has an inkling, you know, knows about Jesus Christ. But you know what? That isn't necessarily the case by any means. I believe there's a lot of young people that are in this world, in this country right now, that hardly have a clue, that don't know Jesus by any means. They're far off, but, oh my, you know, if the light has shone into our hearts, if we can see, if we can perceive the good things of God, if we can hear the word of God and it's registered in our hearts, we are so blessed. It is just so wonderful, that wonderful story of Jesus. And it's so true, it never gets old. It's always, you know, refreshing to our souls. And we could read the same passage over and over again and still get something new from that page. Praise the Lord. That's our wonderful God. Amen. I'm so thankful for what He has shown us in His Word. I'm so thankful we have His Word. You know, I know there's people that maybe they have a page. You know, I know I homeschool my children, and you know, I remember one of the stories in our reading book, and it talked about a woman. It seemed like her name was Mary, and you know, it seemed like she was in the Philippines, and you know, she didn't have access to the Bible, but she saved every little bit of money that she had for a long time in order to go buy one. Finally, the day came when she had sufficient funds, and oh my, it wasn't like she could just go to a store and buy it. No, she had to walk a good long ways to find that place where they sold the King James Bible. Oh, praise the Lord. But see, there was a hunger in her heart. There was a thirst in her heart. She wanted something that was alive. She wanted something that would minister to her. And so what could she do? But oh my, save. She had heard, and she wanted the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are very blessed. Amen. I know Sister Sharon in Singapore, praise the Lord. I know that's one of her missions. She has some King James Bibles that she offers. And praise the Lord, you know, it's always exciting. We Skype together, and every other Friday night we have our session, our Bible study, and whatever, however the Lord leads. But, you know, it's always exciting to hear, you know, new contacts, people that, you know, wanted a King James Bible and not so easy to find. But praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful if we can share the treasure of God's Word. Amen. That wonderful Word of God that leads us to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Mark here tonight. I'm going to call this message, Lord, Open My Eyes. Lord, Open My Eyes. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to verse 46 here, to the end of this 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And oh, I love this little story here, but oh my, I think we'll just find it applicable here tonight, and I pray that it talks to our hearts. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 46 here in Mark chapter 10. It says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" Praise the Lord. I just want to stop here a minute and let's just think about this instance here, and you can just imagine, here was Jesus, he's ministering, he came to Jericho, and he'd obviously been there, and I'm sure many wonderful events had happened, and tells us here he was going out of Jericho at this point when this story occurs, and he's with his disciples, and it says a great number of people. And you can just imagine, you know, there they are, they're traveling, they're on foot, and you know, there's Jesus, and he's surrounded by his disciples, and then it tells us a great number of people. So as, you know, they're going down the path or the road, however that was, you know, I can imagine you could hear them as they're moving along. And maybe there's some chatter, I don't know, but I'm sure you could hear them as they're walking down that dusty road. Now, there was a man, he was blind, and obviously, you know, he probably was very familiar with that area, but, you know, because he was sitting by the highway, and he was begging. This was, I would suppose, routine for him, something he did, I would guess, every day. But as he heard the commotion, as he heard the noise, somehow it was told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And oh my, that stirred his heart. Oh, he had heard about Jesus somehow. And oh, he knew he had a need. And, you know, I don't know who he had sought, but, you know, I doubt there was much hope for a blind man back at that time. And what he did, oh, it came from his very soul. He cried out, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And I don't think it was just a single cry. No, because, you know, he wasn't reserved. He wasn't trying to whisper. He wasn't trying to, you know, just, you know, be like in a corner and just kind of hope that he would be heard. No, I believe he was crying out. I believe he was crying out with all his voice. And oh my, it was so noisy. It seemed almost like a nuisance, I suppose, and that many charged him, it tells us, that he should hold his peace. Oh, you man, be quiet. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. Shh, shh, shh. You know, you're disrupting. You know, that's annoying. That's a nuisance. But it tells us here in the scripture that nothing stopped him. He didn't care what the people thought. He wasn't reserved. He wasn't going to be restrained. No, it was in his heart. He knew he needed an answer, and he knew that Jesus could help him. And it tells us he cried the more a great deal. Oh, and they tried to stop him. They tried to steal him. But, oh my, it just came out of his being. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what. It tells us that Jesus heard that cry. It tells us in verse 49 that Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. There they had been walking. Oh, yes, but all at once everything stopped. There was a cry. There was a voice. There was a need. And Jesus heard it. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he hears the faintest cries. And oh, I've heard stories. You know, I don't know if Brother Matt would be listening, but I'm just remembering right now how he tells his story that, you know, he didn't know anything really about God, hardly at all. And he was not in a good way. He was suicidal, and he wanted to do it. He was thinking he was going to do it. But, you know, something within him decided, I'm just going to cry out to God. And, you know, I don't know, cry like, maybe, God, if you're there, would you help me? God, if you exist, would you help me? And somehow, he didn't know God's word. He didn't have a foundation in the scripture. But somehow, just crying with what he knew deep within, God heard Matt. Amen. God heard this man. And all at once he sensed that God was real. He could sense God. And it was like God put him kind of like in a euphoria type of thing for a season. And, you know, it changed everything. It changed everything. And down the road, amazingly, he met an individual, a woman that gave him some of our materials from Last Trumpet Ministry, some CDs or what all. And, you know, he started listening to them. And eventually he made his way here to be baptized and to spend some time with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, to get to know the Lord. And, you know, I had a great privilege. That privilege was giving him the first Bible that he ever had. Praise the Lord. But see, God hears the cries, the desperate cries from deep within. And I'm so glad no matter where you are or what you know or what you don't know, God knows how to intercept. He knows how to intervene. He knows how to make a way. Praise the Lord. And here was blind Bartimaeus. And he cried with all his might, not caring what anybody thought. Oh, mine. Not worrying about them at all. Just crying out with all his might. And it reached the ears of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called that blind man and they said unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And there somehow he made his way to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And as he was going, it tells us in verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Oh my, that was the greatest desire of his heart. He had to get there, and if something was in the way, it's going to go. Oh, and that robe, I'm going to tremble over it. So my, he just let that garment go. And often, that's the way it is. You know, we need Jesus. We need him, but sometimes we're surrounded by impediments and things that are in the way, you know, hindrances. You know, it is so important that we find Jesus, that we don't want to allow anything to be in the way. Oh, to, you know, to hinder us from finding the Lord Jesus, from finding salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it tells us, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 51 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise the Lord. You know, faith is an action word. God sees faith. And oh my, somehow to show our faith. Somehow, yes, to make that appeal. Somehow to get the eyes of Jesus Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ. Oh, to get his attention. Praise the Lord. But faith is action. And praise the Lord, Bartimaeus showed faith. Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and he changes not. And what he did when he walked this world, he can do today. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we could just reach out in faith, even to touch the hem of his garment, or to make our appeal, to make our voice to be heard above the traffic, above the noise, above all the interferences. Oh, that desperateness. Things happen when we're desperate, when we mean business, and nothing is going to stop us. Praise the Lord. God knows how to help us. He knows how to change our circumstances. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to deliver us. Praise the Lord. And he hears that cry of faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that cry of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But here we've been talking about a man who was physically blind, right? And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to see. All those senses are pretty precious. You know, I was talking to a woman just a few days ago, and you know, she had COVID, and a few months ago, frankly, and she still was, you know, needing her senses, her smell and taste. And sometimes we don't realize, you know, how valuable they are. And, you know, if you can't smell, you know, you might cook something if you're, you know, a cook, and it might not be, you know, quite right. And, you know, it's not too much fun to eat if you can't taste. But anyway, oh, we thank God for his goodness and those senses that he has given us in the physical realm. But I want to talk about sight in the spiritual realm right now. Because, you know, I think spiritual blindness is perhaps harder to perceive than physical blindness. And here we are in this world today, and I think there's a lot of people that don't perceive that they are blind, that they're in their sins, that they don't know the Lord Jesus. And sometimes there's a form of godliness. Sometimes there's a religion. Sometimes, you know, they have a philosophy. Or they're just trying to do the very best they can. And, oh, I've talked to people like that. Oh, I really have. And I know sometimes it might be, a very good attempt. Some people try to make it to heaven by works. But oh my, I know it's going to take faith to reach out and touch Jesus. It's going to take repentance, a change in our lives. It's going to take obedience to follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's going to take faith. But sometimes I know people are blinded. You know, they're so set in their traditions, in their ways, in their education, their upbringing, whatever all. You know, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, you know, they were Buddhist, and I'm going to be a Buddhist. But praise the Lord, sometimes we don't know if we can't perceive, if we, you know, we don't have understanding, if we haven't looked in the book, we haven't looked in the scripture, how are we going to know the way? Jesus is the way. But if, you know, we haven't looked into what he has stated, what his word tells us, then we're going to be blind. We're not going to know. And it's so very precious. Oh my, when the Lord gets our attention, when the Lord shows us, because we've all been blind spiritually. There was a time when we were all out there walking the best we knew, perhaps. But, you know, and maybe even groping, you know, looking for, you know, hope and answers and everything else. But where were they? Where would we go? And, you know, I know, Sister Shirley, you know, there in Oklahoma, I know, she shared with me so many times how, you know, she tried to find a church, or she had been in a church, and they all thought she was crazy because God had shown her some things that the others didn't see. And praise the Lord, she found Last Trumpet somehow and realized that we were teaching from God's word and things that God had shown her, God had shown us too. No, it's an amazing thing when God opens our perception in our ability to see. It is such a gift when he opens up our eyes so that we can see spiritually and realize what is right and what is wrong. You know, we're living in a world right now where wrong is right. In many, many cases, people don't know. I've seen great changes in my lifetime. You know, there was a basic sense of morality in earlier years. But now, it just seems like people just want to do what they want to do. And they don't regard what God's word says. And they don't even know what God's word says. And so many times, you know, what is right to them is completely wrong in the eyes of God. Perhaps even an abomination in the sight of God. And yet they don't perceive, they don't understand, they don't see, they don't know. But oh, what a gift if the Lord has opened up our understanding. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah here for a portion of scripture here. Isaiah chapter 29. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. It says here, in Isaiah 29, let's look at verse 9. It says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." I believe it's talking about people who are deception, who are blind, who don't have a vision to see the things of God. And they're just out there drunken, not with wine in this case, in this description. They're staggering. They're not steady. They don't know. They're just out there blindly. It tells us in verse 10 here, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." It's sealed, it's closed. I can't do it. "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned." Oh, that's pretty sad when the scripture is on that level. You can't understand it. You know, it's like it's sealed, like it's covered, like, you know, you can't comprehend it, can't read it. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man, only doing what, you know, people approve of." You know, everybody thinks that way, don't they? But does God? And that's the way it is with so many people. I mean, you know, the majority's right, right? But is that what God's word says? You know, and you know, they might, you know, even have a concept of being a Christian, but in reality, it might be just in words. You know, just with their lips, you know, just making a pretense, saying this or that, and trying to sound Christian, perhaps. But if the heart isn't there, then it's for nothing, you know? It's for naught. And it goes on to tell us in verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid." And all that wonder that came to pass. So praise the Lord, that marvelous work. That marvelous work was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, God robed in flesh. Oh yes, there was none to intercede. Therefore, God put on flesh. He came to this world to save humanity. He saw how we were just, you know, without knowledge, without strength, walking and wandering in sin and in trouble. And praise the Lord, God robed himself in flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh my, the old covenant, the old law was just, you know, it was more, for physical, you know, understanding there. You know, you keep this law and it will be well with you. But they couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep it, and they would have to offer sacrifices to atone for sin. And it just, you know, covered up what was in the past. And then they would keep on their ways of sinning. But oh my, the Lord Jesus saw our need. Oh yes, one that would come to this world to atone for our sins, so that we could turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus, so we could turn our lives over to Him and be forgiven our sins and our trespasses, so we wouldn't have to walk in those sins, so we could be delivered by the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that wonder that He came to this world. Oh, that marvelous work and the wonder that is referred to here in Isaiah 29, verse 14. Because, oh yes, the wisdom of men, the wisdom of their wise men, it shall perish. And the understanding of the prudent man shall be hid. Oh my, it's not going to be to any avail. The wisdom that we need is in the Scripture. It's in the Word of God. And praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to open up the Scripture, to have the Lord talk to our hearts, and to be given eyes that can see, that can perceive, that can understand. Oh my, it might hit kind of hard at the first. Because, yes, the Scripture tells us plainly, clearly, that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and that can hit really hard. It tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none that are righteous, no, not one. It's not going to be our good deeds that save us. No, it's going to be His mercy, His grace, His reaching out for us, the price that He paid on the cross, that we might come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I need You. I can't do it of myself. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves, to get rid of our sins. But praise the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, that price that He paid on the cross so that we might be cleansed from our sins, from our iniquities. Oh, yes, that we might be forgiven those trespasses. Praise the Lord. That was the arm of God reaching out to save fallen humanity. Praise the Lord, to make a way of escape so we would not have to be condemned. We would not have to go to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful plan of salvation the Lord Jesus wrought. Oh, thank the Lord. And He made a way. He gave us His word. And praise the Lord. Yes, He told us that need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. He didn't leave us hanging. He didn't leave us without hope. He made a way. He made a way so that we could go to heaven. Amen. So we could be forever with the Lord. So we could have our sins forgiven. Yes, and remitted in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter now. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13. And of course, parables. Some of Jesus's amazing parables are in this 13th chapter. He just told the parable of the sower in the first portion of this 13th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to go to the 9th verse after He told about the 4 different grounds. Some of the seeds fell on the wayside. Some fell in stony places. Some fell among thorns. And thank God for the good ground where, oh yes, those seeds could be nourished and bring forth fruit. Praise the Lord. But He goes on to say in verse 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Jesus realized that all people were not going to comprehend. All people did not have ears to hear and eyes to see. And so he spoke in parables so that those that had ears to hear could comprehend the way that he was presenting. Praise the Lord. Oh, the way of salvation. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 12, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Oh, it's not a good thing when, you know, you're so into your own ways that, you know, you cannot begin to look into God's word to see what it really says. You know, and you're so focused in other directions, you're so brainwashed in other areas that no matter what, you can't comprehend it. It's not a good thing. Because, oh my, if we can open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus, we can call upon the Lord Jesus with all our heart. We can cry out like blind Bartimaeus did. Oh my, there is hope. There is help. The Lord will hear. He sees and he hears those that cry out with all the heart. But here we're talking about people that are dull of hearing spiritually. And their eyes, they're not even trying. They've closed their eyes. You know, I'm not going to look into that book. Nah, you know, that's just for feeble people. Whatever they, you know, determine, whatever their excuse is. And I'm not going to open up my heart. Oh my, no. That's for other people. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no hope then. If you can't, you know, take time to let the Lord talk to your heart. You can't take time to look and to see what the scripture does say, then how can you be helped? But praise the Lord, Jesus was talking to those that had hurt him, that were following him. And he said to them in verse 16 here in Matthew 13, But blessed are your eyes. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Oh, there were many. You can imagine the prophets of old. They wrote the scripture as it was given to them, as the Holy Ghost spoke to their hearts, and they wrote it down. But often there were things that had not come to pass. There were things that they couldn't understand at that moment. And oh my, they could see. Oh, you know, there's a great day coming. There's a wonder coming. You know, oh, there's a Messiah coming. And yet, you know, it wasn't for their time. And how they must have hoped. 1 Peter, the first chapter, talks about them. First Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day when Jesus came to this earth. Praise the Lord. He came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, my. He came unrecognized, and it wasn't known except those few that, you know, were there on the hillside, those shepherds, all those that the Lord stirred, you know, that all were able to comprehend. But what a day, because all that had been the longing of the soul for all that time. Oh, yes, under the old covenant. Oh, there is one that is coming. There is hope beyond this time period. And you can imagine as the prophets wrote, you know, and wondered and searched and, oh, longed for such a moment. And then it was revealed to them that it wasn't going to be for their time period. But down the road, the Savior would come. Oh, yes, He would come to save us. Praise the Lord. And not only did Jesus come to this earth as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, but oh my, when He left, He sent back the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord that He might come to dwell in the hearts of His people. Praise the Lord. He told them there, that 14th chapter of the book of John. Oh, yes, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Oh, it was so hard for them to bear the thought that, you know, Jesus was with them at the moment, but He was going to leave them. And, oh, my, you know, it was, oh, something, you know, sometimes the news is so bad, you know, you just can't even, you know, you can't even think of it because it just blows your mind. But Jesus told them, oh, yes, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And, oh, John, the 14th chapter, He said in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And He explained in verse 17 here in John 14, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, after He ascended back into the heavens, there on the day of Pentecost, that Jewish feast day of Pentecost, He sent back the Holy Ghost. Oh, what is a ghost? It is a spirit of a departed one. Amen. He gave up that ghost on the cross. But praise the Lord, He sent it back on the day of Pentecost that He might come and dwell in the hearts of His people. Oh, yes, that He might abide with us forever. Oh, praise the Lord, so He can say, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Praise the Lord, He sent back His Spirit. And oh, yes, the prophets of old, they didn't, you know, have that opportunity in their time period. But oh my, they looked into it. They searched for it. They longed for it. And how very privileged we are to be in this time period. Oh yes, when we seek the Lord with all our heart. Oh yes, He sends back His Spirit to come and abide in our hearts forever. The Holy Ghost, praise the Lord that He sent down Pentecost, that He sent down Pentecost, oh my, and He's still sending back today. Praise the Lord that He might be with us, that He might guide us, that He might lead us. You know, it also says in John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. He sends back His Spirit to dwell in our hearts. He gives us a peace that the world doesn't know. Oh, they talk about peace. Oh, they, you know, they make motions for it. You know, they, you know, put a United Nations together, supposedly, you know, to try to bring about peace. But I'll tell you what, that has nothing to do with the peace that Jesus Christ gives. In fact, that is just phony. Oh my, there's been war after war ever since the United Nations came into existence. Praise the Lord, because you can't duplicate what God sends forth. You can't duplicate His peace. That peace only comes from Him. He is the author of peace. And without Him, there is no peace. No peace like the Lord Jesus's by any means. But oh, praise the Lord, He made a way that the Comforter would come and abide in our hearts, that Spirit of truth, to lead and to guide us into all truth so that we didn't have to be alone. So we could be led by the Holy Ghost. You know, when the children of Israel walked through the wilderness after Moses had led them out of Egypt, there was that pillar of cloud that led them by day. When that pillar of cloud moved during the day, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And at night, if God had them moving at night, there was a pillar of fire. And yes, when that pillar of fire moved, they moved. See, that was how He was leading them. That's how He was guiding them back at that time. But now He has sent back the Holy Ghost, His Spirit, to come and dwell in our hearts so that He might lead us. That still, small voice of His Spirit talking to our inner man so we could hear that voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you go to the right, when you go to the left, this is the way, this is what I want you to do. These are my instructions. Yes, I'm going to be with you. I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd that gave His life for sheep. And I know how to lead you through this world. I know how to take you through all the trouble, all the tribulation, all the heartaches, all the suffering, all the pain. I know how to do it. And praise the Lord, yes, He sent back that Holy Ghost. Oh, thank the Lord. So we didn't have to be without guidance, without one to lead us. Praise the Lord. And yes, we are so privileged to also have His Word to show us the way. Oh, yes, to give us the instructions that we need. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing if God has opened our eyes so that we can see, in our ears so that they can hear. I mean, some people have plugged ears and they don't get it. They don't hear it. You know, it comes in one ear and goes out the other. You know, they might even look at Scripture and you know, without faith, we know it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But you know, if you don't have faith, and faith is a gift that God gives us, praise the Lord, He puts it in our hearts so that we can understand spiritual things. We couldn't do it if He didn't breathe upon us and send forth the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, we would just be like everybody else. But praise the Lord, He has made a way. And what a precious thing Oh, if he has opened our eyes so that we can see, and opened our ears so we can hear, and opened up our minds, our hearts, so that we can comprehend. That is the greatest of gifts. Praise the Lord, to understand the things that are written. Oh, yes, to understand what God has declared and all that he has come to this world to lead us, to guide us. Oh, yes, to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm turning at the moment to Luke, the 19th chapter. And in this chapter, and I don't plan to read the whole thing, and I'm just going to, you know, mention that in this chapter we have Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know that, it doesn't seem that Jesus was hardly ever praised. You know, once in a while, you know, somebody that was healed, like, you know, that Samaritan leper who, you know, was healed and came back to worship Jesus when he perceived what he had done for him, but, you know, came back and worshiped him. And yes, there were some. But so often Jesus did not get the glory, the praise, the honor that he so deserved. But here in this 19th chapter of the book of Luke, we have it coming to pass that, you know, actually fulfillment from Zechariah, the 9th chapter and verse 9. But he has a colt. He's on a colt. He's on a donkey colt. And he's coming into Jerusalem. And at that moment, as he's making his entrance into Jerusalem, it just comes to the people that Jesus is coming in, and it is in their hearts to worship him finally, to praise him, you know, to give him the glory that he so deserves. And as it was, as he was coming in, sitting actually on the colt of a donkey, and it tells us that it never had been even ridden before. So this is an amazing thing. Jesus had it all arranged. I mean, it was prophetic. It, you know, had been declared from the beginning. And as he's coming in, the people cast their garments upon the colt and in the way as he was coming forth on that donkey. And, oh, yes, they took branches from perhaps palm trees that were in the way and began to also lay them on the road, and also I believe they were also using them to worship him as he came. It tells us in verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. See, it finally occurred to them that they needed to give him glory, that they needed to give him praise, that they needed to worship him. And here they are with a loud voice worshiping him and saying, as it tells us in verse 38, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And we know from the book of Matthew that they also were saying, Hosanna, which means save now, save now. And that was direct prophetic utterance from Psalms 118. Praise the Lord, verse 25 and verse 26. But there they were waving their palm branches. They were strewing them along the way. They had laid their garments down as he rode into Jerusalem. And finally, yes, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Strange thing. These religious people among them, you know, the common people heard him gladly. But it seems like the religious element, the Pharisees, the scribes, they had trouble. Oh, man. Oh, they just, you know, they could hardly bear it, it seems. And it tells us in verse 39 here in Luke 19, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Oh, they were finally giving him the glory, the praise, the honor that he was so due. I mean, Jesus was not just a man. No, he was the Son of God. Praise the Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. Oh, yes, he had come to this world to do a work. And that work was to save us from our sins. But here, oh yes, as they were worshiping him with a loud voice, honoring him and crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Those Pharisees were disturbed. They didn't like it. Oh, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, yes, they were kind of mixed in, weren't they? Oh, here and there, they were kind of scattered in that multitude. But, oh yes, some of them began to say unto the disciples, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, or it was Jesus really that they were complaining to, it seems like. And they said to Jesus, "Yes, Master, rebuke thy disciples." And this is how Jesus answered in verse 40. "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Oh, praise the Lord. Our God deserves worship from the heart. And oh, yes, he deserves servitude from the heart. Oh, children, oh, yes, that have it deep within to serve him. And it tells us, oh yes, he told them, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Oh yes, there has to be a reaction. The whole creation knows. And I believe the creation is mourning in a sense. You know, the stains of sin, the heaviness of sin. I mean, this earth was created in perfection when God created and, you know, put it all in order. It was perfect. But sin entered into the world, and therefore the curses. And here we are at the end of the world, I believe. And we're seeing what sin has wrought. It's not very pretty. Oh, we're living in a polluted earth. Oh, with all kinds of trouble, all kinds of sorrow, with all kinds of confusion. Oh, that is the product of sin. That is the wages of sin. Oh my, but oh my. We know that there is an end to this. Our God is going to come back, isn't he? The Lord Jesus is going to come back and gather his people together. Oh, praise the Lord. And he's also going to judge this world in righteousness. But here at this point, Jesus had been walking those dusty roads there in Judea and Galilee. He'd even been in Samaria. He'd done mighty, wonderful works. He'd cast out devils. He'd healed the sick. He'd opened the blind eyes. He made the lame to walk. He even raised the dead. But despite that, there were so many that rejected him, that didn't see, that didn't understand, that didn't comprehend, that were blinded to the spiritual reality of who Jesus was and what he was doing. And here it was in verse 41. Oh, they had just worshipped him, some of them. But oh, in the midst of that, here are the Pharisees. And the Jewish people also had an anticipation. One thing that they did not perceive was that the Messiah was going to come to save them from their sins. They didn't understand that. They were looking for some kind of a, conqueror, some kind of physical deliverance from the Romans so that they might have their millennium, so they might have their utopia, that, it might be like the time of Solomon again, that restoration of that. That's how they saw it. But oh my, Jesus came near and he beheld the city and he wept over it. It tells us in verse 41, he said to them, or he said, I don't know who was all there to see this. He said, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes, thine eyes. Oh, because they were blinded to Jesus Christ. They were blinded to his reality, to the fact that he was the Messiah. He could not go forth and bring those that did not have eyes to see and ears to hear the peace that passeth all understanding. It was hid from their eyes, from their knowledge, from their understanding. And he went on to tell them, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, Jesus was visiting them, the Son of God, praise the Lord, God robed in flesh, come to this world to save them from their sins. But they didn't understand, they didn't receive, they didn't comprehend, they ignored, they despised, they mocked. Oh my, we know that they crucified him very shortly after this occasion. Because, oh my, they wanted somebody to save them from their physical bondage. Jesus Christ did something way greater than that. He came to bring us spiritual deliverance so that we could be saved from our sins, from our trespasses, so our slate could be wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, so we could have a real hope in our hearts, that hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So many didn't get that. It was so hidden from them. Their eyes could not see it in the spiritual sense. Their ears could not comprehend it, nor their minds. And after he was crucified, after he was raised from the dead, he began to make himself known to his disciples. And if you'll turn with me to Luke, the 24th chapter, I want to share this very exciting event here. Luke chapter 24. And this is so amazing. They didn't know yet. It tells us in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And a furlong is about 1/8 of a mile. So if we do some math here and you've got 70 of them, we realize that it's about 7.5 mile walk that they're doing. So anyway, here's two of them, and they're going to Emmaus. And as they are going, they're talking together, these two, and they're talking about the things that had happened, it tells us in verse 14. And verse 15 tells us here in Luke 24, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. So this is, this is an amazing thing. There's two disciples here, and they're talking about what just happened. And lo and behold, here's Jesus. He's raised from the dead. And he joins these two some. And, you know, as they're walking along, and it's a nice stretch there, so, you know, time for a lot of conversation, I would say. It tells us their eyes were holding. In other words, they were covered so that they don't comprehend that it's Jesus walking with them. They didn't know him. Verse 17 tells us, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And verse 21 is so interesting. You know, here they're talking, and Jesus is right in the midst of them now. And you know, here they're talking about Jesus and what had happened. And, you know, and now they're saying in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. See, even the disciples were looking for somebody to deliver them from physical bondage. That concept that Jesus came to save them from their sins was, you know, it was very hard for them to realize it. But oh my, here it is. No, they're going to get it one of these moments. It says, and yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Oh, can you imagine? I mean, you know, all the mystery around this, and they're hearing this, they're hearing that, and they don't know. They're just walking, they're discussing what had happened, and, you know, they don't know what to think. And it tells us, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So, you know, we know the story that the sepulchre, you know, the stone had rolled away, and, you know, there were some, I know, that walked in to see that it was empty. There was no body in there, only his garments rolled or laid together, folded up there inside that sepulchre. And so what to think? What to think? Oh, what a wonder. And so Jesus, here he is. He's walking with these two. And oh my, now it's his turn to talk. Verse 25, it tells us, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I just wonder how many times that could be applicable. You know, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It had been written. It had been recorded. You know, the prophets had talked about it. They'd written of it. They'd wondered. They had hoped. But oh my, so much had happened. And he says in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And here's the sermon of all sermons. Praise the Lord. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh my, how that must have been to be there and listening to him as he's going through all the prophetic utterances that had been declared in the Old Testament pertaining to himself. And they're listening. It tells us in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And all at once, praise the Lord. What happened? Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 31 tells us, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that wonderful moment when the Lord Jesus makes himself known unto us. And here it was, they had been walking with him. And sometimes people are so close, but yet so far. You know, oh my, there's just, you know, this little bit of knowledge and that little bit of knowledge. And maybe somebody shared and, you know, maybe gave them a track. And then, you know, maybe, oh, you know, there was a song or something that happened. Maybe they had a dream. God only knows, you know. All that the Lord was trying to do to make himself known unto them. But oh, thank God when he makes himself known to us. And as it was here in this case with these two, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a moment. The Lord Jesus came to this earth to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, he wasn't going to set up a physical kingdom. Oh, no, he told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then should my men fight? But my kingdom is not that sort. He told Pilate, no, it's a kingdom within. Oh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to dwell in our hearts and make his abode within us. He came to save us so that we might turn away from our sins, walk away from them in repentance, and obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord and receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that is what happens when the Lord opens up our eyes. When he gives us eyes that can see and comprehend the spiritual world. When he makes himself known unto us. Oh, yes, so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me there in John the 12th chapter. And praise the Lord when he talks to our heart. Oh, that's the drawing spirit of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Lord Jesus coming to open up our eyes so that we can see. Oh, help our ears so that they can hear and comprehend our minds to make himself known unto us. And the greatest gift, oh yes, blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that comprehend, Jesus said. Oh, it is such a blessing to know the Lord as our Savior, as our God, as our King, as the Messiah, to know that he that was prophesied of old has come and done the work that was needed to do to save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they have opened our spiritual eyes so that we can see. Oh, so we can taste of the good things of God and have a hope beyond this world. Oh, praise the Lord, the hope in his coming, his return. Oh, yes, he said, oh, that he would come and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we might be also. Praise the Lord. That's our gracious, wonderful God. And praise the Lord, what a gift. Oh, if he has not opened up your eyes, I pray that you would seek him diligently with all your heart and let him do that spiritual work so you can envision the good things of God, so you can be saved from your sins and from your trespasses, so you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift. When the Lord opens up our eyes so that we can see, in our ears so that we can hear. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you glad tonight? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation. Praise the Lord. Work in our hearts. Oh, let your word be, oh, God, go forth to be accomplished. Oh, God, to do your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. What a gracious Savior we serve. Amen. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord. We're going to sing a short little chorus in closing. Turn to number 85 in the chorus book. It's in Give Me Oil in My Lamp, number 85. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.